listen, the birds sing. Listen, the bells ring. All the living are dead, and the dead are all living. The war is over, and we are beginning.
Chapter 13, Epilogue. Somewhere on the end of the bed, buried under old manila folders and encrypted documents and photographs of Bucky that make him sick to his stomach, his phone is vibrating. Steve folds up the map he was pretending to study to dig around for it. Really, he was just staring at the ceiling, imagining up increasingly worse scenarios for where Bucky might be right this moment, and not sleeping. In the months since DC, when all his worst nightmares came true, when he found Bucky again and lost him just as quickly, Steve has not done much sleeping without the assistance of all the drugs they pumped into him at the hospital. This ceiling, like the majority of the cheap motel ceilings he's become acquainted with recently, is cracked and water-stained. Really, he should try harder to sleep. Bucky needs him at his best, needs him to be well-rested. But in a cemetery, over an empty grave, Steve was handed a file detailing all they did to his precious, beautiful best friend, complete with photographs. And Steve can't sleep. They've only been on the road for 3 weeks, moving constantly since a quick stop in Brooklyn, where he had to confess to Rachel that he failed. Nazis. It's been Nazis the whole time. He had to tell Rachel that it's been Nazis the whole time, and he did not deserve the comfort she offered, her soothing words that dismissed all his apologies as folly, and her fingers in his hair. But he let her coddle him anyway. He ate her matzo ball soup, and did not tell her about Bucky. Steve could not find the words, and if he can't manage to bring Bucky home, then Rachel's better off believing that he died a century ago, when Steve let him fall from a train. He's failed Rachel spectacularly. Nazis. All this time it's been Nazis. But he can spare her the horror of knowing what Steve now knows. Steve failed Bucky worse, somehow, but Rachel doesn't need to know yet. When Rachel closes her eyes, she won't see Bucky blue and frozen, Bucky beaten and bruised and missing an arm. They've knocked over a handful of Hydra Lairs, but there's been no trace of Bucky. Not his profile caught on a grainy convenience store security camera, not a bloody trail of dead Hydra agents to follow. Nothing. Steve can't sleep, can't breathe, he can barely think of anything besides Bucky, and what he's been through in the last 70 years, after Steve let him fall, and then didn't look for him, and then put the plane down, only to be useless and frozen under the ice while Bucky was up here, withstanding more torment. Thank God for Sam. He insists on 3 meals a day and taking sleep breaks. He says, "Man, that is fucked up." Whenever they uncover some new Nazi horror, and he doesn't leave Steve alone to wallow. The buried phone continues to ring. It's a new one, since Nazis were probably spying on his old one. And only 3 people have the number, one of whom is snoring face down in a pillow in a bed next to Steve's. That leaves Natasha and Rachel for possible callers. He shuffles around the papers, trying not to disturb Sam's chaotic organizational system, and he finds the phone after 4 rings. Rachel? Steve glances at the digital clock on the bedside table, blinking 10:02 at him. It's earlier than he expected. Sam's getting serious about reasonable bedtimes after single-handedly taking out Hydra factories. You're right. What's going on? Where are you right now? Rachel asks. Her words are careful. She speaks slowly, deliberately, as if she's trying to figure out how to say whatever she has to say. You know I can't tell you that, Steve says. On the edge of the bed sits a procedural manual for maintaining the Winter Soldier, the one they found in a Hydra safe house outside DC. And Steve flips it over so he won't have to read the title one more goddamn time. We talked about this, remember? I can't give you the details on this mission. Rachel had to watch him fighting Hydra on the news, just like she had to watch him fighting the aliens. But this was much worse, because it's Nazis. This whole time, it's been Nazis. He needs to be more patient when she struggles to remember the details of their latest conversations. I don't need to know where you are specifically, Rachel snaps back. Just, how far are you from Brooklyn? Steve lets out a hoarse laugh, glancing out the window to where he can clearly see bright stars shining over some tiny town in Maine that was unfortunately close to a now-destroyed underground Hydra lab. One bed over, Sam stirs and opens one eye. "Pretty far from Brooklyn," Steve murmurs. "Okay." Rachel takes a deep breath. "When I tell you this, you need to promise to stay out of Brooklyn." "What?" he demands, his heart rate picking up. He sits up quickly, dislodging a stack of files as he stands, suddenly so painfully hopeful and absolutely terrified. "No, Rachel, why?" "Steve," Rachel murmurs, gentle and quiet. She takes a deep breath, and Steve knows what she's going to say, even before she says it. "He's here." The end. Thanks for listening.
Wake up, say good morning to that sleepy person lying next to you. If there's no one there, then there's no one there, but at least the war is over. It's us, yes, we're back again, here to see you through till the day's end. And if the night comes, and the night will come, well, at least the war is over. Lift your head and look out the window. Stay that way for the rest of the day and watch the time go. Listen, the birds sing. Listen, the bells ring. All the living are dead, and the dead are all living. The war is over, and we are beginning. Gridlock on the parkway now. The television man is here to show you how. The channel fades to snow. It's off to work you go, but at least war is over. She's gone, she left before you woke. As you ate last night, neither of you spoke. Dishes, TV, bed, the darkness filled with dread. But at least the war is over. Lift your head and look out the window. Stay that way for the rest of the day and watch the time go. Listen, the birds sing. Listen, the bells ring. All the living are dead, and the dead are all living.